I have a Mishnah tonight. If we're going to need a last Yad Yishmaya, if we want to get past the Ivra. Ablezer ben Shemuel Imeh. This is the first time that I found a very different opinion on the Manda Imeh. Most of the Rishonim have Ablezer ben Shemuel, and the Benayon has Ablezer ben Shimon. But most of the Gersis is Ablezer ben Shemuel. Ablezer ben Shemuel was a Rebbe of Rebbe. Rebbe's Rebbe. Yehi, Ablezer ben Shemuel, Ima, Yehi, Kavoid, Talmidcha, Chaviv, Alecha, Kishalcha. I guess if you have a Talmud like Rebbe, so it's easy to say things like that. He has three statements for us. Three part Mishnah. Yikavoy Talmidcha Choviv Alecha Kishel Shalach. That's here. We also have two gerses. One gerse is that the covet of your Talmud should be like your covet, should be choviv to you, like your covet. And the other gerse that you have in many of the Rishonim is Yehi Kvoid Talmidcha Chovev Alecha Kvoid Chavercha, either like your own covet or like your friend's covet. Okay, that's number one. That's the number one. The covet of your Talmud should be chovev to you, like the covet of your own covet. Or the other geser, like your chaver's covet, your friend's covet. Ukevoy chavercha, your friend's covet, kemoyo rabuch, should be in some way comparable, in some way related to a different subject, so something else called moyo rabuch, the respect, we'll call it, the awe. What do they have there?
Reverence.
Oh, excellent. Reverence that you have for a Rebbe. U'moyer rabuch k'moyer shamayim. And the reverence that you have for a Rebbe should be like moyer shamayim. Okay. So, what is it that Rav Elazar ben Shemuel was trying to tell us here? That's usually the problem. There seems to be some type of a understanding over here of upgrading. Right? There are three basic types of relationships that a person has. Yeah, maybe we'll just give a little framework for the Mishnah. You have people that are under you, people that are equal to you, and people that are over you. Right? And then you have the Rabbi Shalom, who's not a people. But the three types of people, the three types of relationships that the Mishnah is talking about, people under you, that's Talmidcha, people that are equivalent to you, that's Chavercha, and people that are over you, that's Rabcha. Okay. So now, the basic problem of the Mishnah is, that what are we talking about? That's usually the problem. You're right, you've heard that before, that question. Well, what's going on? We usually get stuck on a shayla's tam. What is it? What is it that? What exactly is the thing over here? So the Rishonim go out of their way to eliminate some of the more obvious possibilities. The most simple obvious possibility the Rishonim seem to say, even though maybe we wouldn't have guessed that, is that there are equal signs between each grouping. Okay. What the Mishnah, it would seem the Rishonim are indicating to us that the Mishnah seems to be saying, and they have to go bend over backwards to prove to us that can't possibly be true, but that the simple reading of the Mishnah should tell us that something along the lines of that the covet of a Talmud should be equivalent to the covet of Chaver, and the covet of Chaver should be equivalent of the Chaver of a Rav, and the covet of a Rav should be equivalent of Meir Shemayim. So they say that there are two absolutely impossibilities with that shot.
He didn't say chavercha.
There are two guesses. We just said that.
Oh, say shalcha means chaver.
No. There are two guesses. Right now I was going with the other one, but there's no difference. There, just to avoid that confusion, so I said, we'll just talk about three groupings. Less than me, equivalent to me. When we talk about equivalent to me, so some people say, equivalent to me meaning me, equivalent to me meaning chaver.
Oh, that's okay.
Right? But that's still on level. And above me, Rebbe. Right. So they have a few problems over here. Number one is that one of the most basic yesodos of Torah is that all men were not created equal. Neither were all things, neither were all anything. Right? Everything was created in hierarchies, in process, in whole levels, and each person and each thing deserves, and you are required to relate to it exactly as it should be related to. And this business of all's fair, all equal, right? Make your Talmud equal to your Rebbe, they say that is utterly unacceptable. That's totally impossible. Forget it. Scratch. It doesn't matter, even like the Rishonim almost say, even if he said it, he didn't say it. Because that can't be said. There's no such possibility b'chalal that a Mishnah should say such a thing. One of the rules of Mishnayos is Mishnayos were not meant to be clear. That was not their intended purpose. They were meant to be clear only for those who had the capability of learning them in the Mahalchei HaGemara, which was later was written down to a certain degree, which means that they can make absolutely impossible statements. If it would be intrinsically clear to somebody who knows how to learn it, that this is an impossible statement and come to the right chat. So even if this is what he seems to be saying, it is so impossible that gives us a right. Right? Sometimes you have in Mishnah, they throw in a whole line that changes the chat in the Mishnah from top to bottom. You end up exactly opposite. What you thought was chayiv is now potim. What was potim is now chayiv. And that's kosher. Why is that kosher? Because Mishnahs were not meant to be clear. They were meant to be remozim, so that Torah Shebal Peh shouldn't be forgotten. And therefore, very often Mishnahs were never originally meant to be clear. They were meant to be, but they have a hidden system where if you know how to learn properly, you'll come to what was really intended. So that's what the Rishonim say over here, that this equivalence out, no way. That, forget it. That's not acceptable at all. That's just not kosher. That's number one. Number two is that when you get to the last part, of the Mishnah, and you start equivalating between Meir Haba and Meir Shemayim, if that means any mamish, an equivalence, not some aspect of a comparison, so they feel they're trying to explain to us that's something that is totally unacceptable, cannot be even thought, let alone said. Okay.
Can't say that either.
What?
Can't say the last line either.
No. Sorry. You know, to get is, you know, if you have to explain that it's impossible to make a mistake between a chaver and a rav. This is, you don't have to explain that you can't make a mistake between a rav and a Rabbanu Shlom. Between a human being and the Rabbanu Shlom, you don't have to explain that.
Didn't Rabbi give that as a bracha on his deathbed? Something like that?
First of all, it wasn't really. Second of all, he was talking about Yir Shemayim.
What is this word?
That's the third problem.
From Kova,
that's the next problem. The next problem is that if it would be Kova, right, so it would be easier. But the Mishnah switches channels in the middle. What was that?
Yes.
You know, I didn't think you would. Lez ben shemu oimi yekavoid talmid kachov elecha kachavoid kavercha. Okay. That's kavod and kavod. I got it.
Right.
But the problem is in the middle one. Kavod chavecha kamoya rabach. It seems to be min ve'inu minoy. Right. The grapefruits should be very simple to the antelope. What does the grapefruits got to do with antelopes? Nothing, right? What does kavod have to do with moya? So there's a machlokes rishonim. There are two approaches to this problem. One of the approaches is that it has absolutely nothing one to do with the other, and therefore the mission needs a bit of work to understand that. How do you? What does it mean? And the other mahalakha we'll soon see is the Ben Yonah explains the relationship between these two unrelated things. Rabbi Cholov from the Mishnah pulled a quick one on us. You saw that, Rafi? Koyd chavecha, moir rabach. What? Yeah. What's the choviv? What's that exactly? And choviv alech, there are also two mahalchim and rishonim. One is to say that applies only to the first part, and that's a special operation that relates to the chiddush of the first part of the Mishnah. And the other mahalach l'shoinim is that you carry that chiddush of choviv alecha throughout the Mishnah. It means yeitam choviv alecha kishaloch ukavoy chavecha also choviv alecha kemoyer avoch, which has advantages and disadvantages. It has advantages that the Mishnah follows through. It has disadvantages because the idea of choviv alecha kavoy atzmocha, so we understand with the choviv. But kvod chavecha chov alecha k'moy rabach, we always understood k'moy rabach as a responsibility more than something that chovev alecha. So this is one of those mishnayos that, like, whichever way you turn it, we get it. It's not. It's like I have a hard time reading. It's like around teeth, yeah. Teeth brows. So. We were trying. What? Why not? It's very simple, straightforward, once you understand. The only problem is I haven't gotten there yet.
I think we only did that about 5-6 times.
What?
1 week.
Huh? Yeah. I must have not been feeling well.
One time was a challenge. It was a challenge. One time I challenged the rabbi. I said, it's impossible. You said, yeah, watch me do it. And we did it.
Yeah. You're not going to challenge me again so fast?
No, I'm not going to challenge you.
Okay. So let's see if we can finish this mission this week. We did a little research to see if we can find anything that will clarify the mission for us. And Baruch Hashem, we found some chazal that make it much more difficult to understand.
Would you do the research on the computer?
Yeah, we also do the research. I think I made it clear that the Rishonim went out of their way backwards, clearly, solid, that they mamish bang it into you. By the time you've learned 3 or 4 Rishonim, you feel banged to the wall. Like, I never even thought like that. Don't even look at me. I didn't even have a mina that there's any equivalence going on over here, right? So is that given over here that clear? There's nobody could ever make such a mistake like that.
It's impossible.
Right. Okay. So then we take out, for example, the Ovos of Abnosin, which is the Braisa on this Mishnah. And, let's read it. Rav Leizer ben Shemua Oimer, same person. Yehi kavoy tamidcha chovav alecha kishaloch, ukvoy chavecha kamoy rabach, umoy rabach kamoy shemai. So far so good?
We switched and have a mistake in the second sentence.
What?
We didn't go from kovav to mora in the second sentence, did we?
Yeah, we did. Ukvoy chavecha kamoy rabach.
Yeah, okay.
It's actually very nice. It's that quote, didn't change anything, right? But he doesn't stop there. Now he just gets started. He was warming up. Here we go. Minayin. How do we know this? How did Rav Shmuel get this? So we have Makovot. Sheyeh kavod talmidoi chobav olav kekvoidoi. How do you know such a thing? Yilmedu kol odem Moshe Rabbeinu. You want to learn such a? No problem. I'll show you. You learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. Shenemar leYoshua bechar lanu anoshim. When he's giving him orders to go out to Mechamas Amalek, loy omar. He didn't give him orders, speaking down to him, go do for me. Like, you guy over there, do for me. He said, Bachar lanu. For us. He made him equivalent to him in expression. you go pick an army for us. So we made him equivalent then. Lanu. Ela b'char lanu. Melamed. He says, if you didn't get the point yet. Melamed. She'asa'ohu kimoisai. He made him equivalent to him. Afal pi shehu rabbi v'yeshua talmid. Umenai. She'kvoid chaveo ye'achoviv olov k'rabbi. She'nema. So he referred to as a person who falls to rabbi. Moshe was Aaron's younger brother. Hello, soul rabbi.
What was that?
He wasn't above him, he was equivalent to him, he was chaveroi. He wasn't even exactly chaveroi, he was his younger brother. Right? And still he referred to him. Be Adoini, as rabbi. Okay. So you see that he's making Kvoid Chaveyoi, Kvoid Rabbi. Unayin she Kvoid Rabbi Yechovelo Kvoid Shemaim. Here, do you hear that? There's a big riot to the Rishonim. But the Chovel goes throughout the Mishnah. Unayin she Kvoid Rabbi Yechovelo Kvoid Shemaim. But just if we want, in the middle one, just to get life, you know, make life complicated. Right? It says Choviv in the first one, Choviv in the last one. Uvenayin Shekvoid Chaveru. Oh, it's the two, sorry. It's all three. Uvenayin Shekvoid Chaveru, Yechoviv Olof Kerabot. It says it all three times. Okay, sorry. I missed it. Uvenayin Shekvoid Chaveru, Olof Kerabot Shemaim, Shenemar, Ve'yan Yeshua Ben Nun Meshoras Moshe Mivichuro, Ve'yoyme Adoni Moshe Kloim. When he heard the Nevuah of Eldad Medad that were being misnabber against Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu would die and not come into Eretz Yisrael, so Yeshua said that they deserved to be eliminated. Kla'im. Kliya is total annihilation. Why? Shoiklai keneged shechina. Somebody who goes against the Shekhinah. Shekhinah is the source of all existence. If you go against your source of existence, then you cease to exist. So if you go against Moshe Rabbeinu, you cease to exist. So he made Kvod Rabbi equivalent to Kvod Shemai. What do we do now?
I messed up because what happened to the Kamoru Rabbi? It always said Kvod, though. And all three of them.
No,
but more in Lashon than the Brayshah.
Right. Menayin shekvoid rabbi yechovel of kekvoid shemayim.
Good
one. Yeah, but
right from the beginning, I don't think we get it anymore.
But it says it here, right? Kvoid chavecha kemoyer rabbach, kemoyer rabbach kemoyer shemayim. And then at the end, what does it say? Kovod kovod.
Right. So we got another switcher out.
One for the Kavli equals more of that.
What?
One for the Kavli equals more of that.
100%. Okay. So now we really don't know what's going on. Because the Rishonim bends over backwards, clarify to us to no end. Right? Make it mamash crystal clear. Like in each Rishon, like the Rabbeinu Yonah says it, and then the other Rishonim bring down the Rabbeinu Yonah, and then they add some more. Which I heard. No. You have to make sure you don't make this mistake. And then, but that's what it says. So what's going on? And then there's another problem in that. Why? Let's take, for example, those of Nosson, they bring Psukim. Why do such a thing? One of the basic rules of Torah is that everything is always given its... It's related to exactly as it is. Each thing is given its relationship. You don't go out of the Gedorim, not above, not below, not right, not left, not down, not in, not out. Everything is given according to what it is. And the better you are, is the more mechuvan you are to relate to things exactly the way they should be related to.
That's when talking about yourself. Self is the subject.
My own self, all reality is the subject. Whenever you're relating to reality,
that was one of the first questions that Shema, you know,
Okay, so you have another chazal reference to be understood. But to chavercha alecha, but talmidoi, b'chol lanu anoshim. Why? What's good about it? If he's your talmud, you have to try to make him feel that he's not your talmud, buddy, you guy. Chas v'sholem. That's what the shayim tzoyik. Chas v'sholem that a talmud shouldn't feel. Right, that his rav looks at him as a talmud. That's destructive for the talmud.
But
what?
Mishnah doesn't say he talmid.
I get that. There's no way around that, right? So, I think that the answer to all the questions are in three words: kavod, mayra. And Chavid.
Oh. Gonna do it.
I just...
We'll do each one of those each week and summary in the fourth week.
I think if we get some understanding what the subject is, then... We may understand a little bit what's going on over here. Where do you start such a thing? The one thing I think we succeeded so far, I think we clearly don't understand the mission. We succeeded. The ratio is chokhmah pliya. The need to have a solid question situation in order to come to answers. Shailas Chochom Chatzit Shuvah. I think that we have a good starting point here. We solidly don't understand the Mishnah. Right? Clearly don't understand a word about what's going on. So,
one thing I could guess.
Oh, guess.
Chaviv seems to be something that you calculate or how you think about it inside. This is Chaviv's preciousness, how you feel. Chaviv is an external way of acting. That's true.
No. Kavod is not an external way of acting. I don't accept that. At all, as a matter of fact. You grew up in...
It's only the kavod.
It's only the kavod.
It's not the kavod we're talking about. Didn't say he's a mechubad. Didn't say he's a mechubad. We say, where do you get kavod to?
It seems that each level needs to be reflected somewhere else to get it right. Somehow, if you don't, you're not going to treat, it's not that your rav is going to end up like a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but if you want to understand the way in which you're supposed to relate to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is something that is too lofty to do directly, you have to understand that relationship in terms of your rav. If you get it right with your rav, you'll get it right with Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you get it, any of these relationships, if you can, you have to take them away from yourself to see what they are clearly to get to the next step. I haven't finished the idea. I haven't thought it all out. But this is something I'm tasting here a little bit. Same thing with the Talmud. Not that Talmud should be like you, but if you want to understand properly the way you have to view your relationship to Talmud, not his relationship to you, but the way in which you should understand properly who he is, then you have to uplift, you have to understand what's known as kavod, your own personal kavod or whatever it is, your colleague's kavod, somebody equal, so that he'll have you can relate to him properly. He gets the proper status. Everything has to be looked at in some way that's detached from your own personal biases. I don't have it all together yet. I'm speaking too soon. But I sense that there's something going on.
You're not the only one.
Yeah. We'll see if any of that comes to pass.
Okay. All right, since you brought it up, we'll make life, maybe a little bit...
Maybe Mishnah's not talking about your relationship to the Talmud, or your relationship to the Chabad, or your relationship to the Rav. But seeing
seeing how the Talmud deals with kavod, seeing how the Chabad deals with kavod, has to affect you, has to, it's like a rebound.
Alright, there is a pshat like that in the Rishonim when they were back, bending over backwards to try to get the Mishnah not to mean that there is equivalence. So one of the pshatim that the Rishonim threw out as a possibility, even though they themselves say that it's a little bit difficult to put into the Mishnah, is that we're not talking about the kavod you're giving your chaver or your Talmud. It means the kavod you're receiving from your Talmud. But a person's relates to kavod also dependent on who the person who's giving me kavod. If an ant would come over and clap, you wouldn't get much from that. Right? All the dogs and cats would think you're really great. Yeah, so what? But who are you? Like, you know, so what? But if somebody choshev thinks that I'm worth something, so then there's some kavod going on over there. I just want to show you how far it goes. How far they're willing to put into the subject. They went even beyond you. They passed you by a leap and a hop. Right? We're talking about the kavod that he is because his importance for you to receive kavod from him. His kavod is not in terms of how you relate to him, but how, in his relationship to you, he is important, therefore the kavod that he gives you is important to you. That's how
he's
far they bend
the
over.
The fact that he relates to you.
Yeah.
You define
it's
himself.
Important to you that he's mechabed you. Mm-hmm. Oh, but who is he? What does he know? He's a nothing. So what's the difference? So he thinks I'm great, but he doesn't know nothing.
So you define him so that you can.
Right.
That's all about what the Chitzoni again, huh?
No. Nothing in these books ever, from the top to the bottom. Any shayt is that story. Nothing. Zero. So, I guess there's no possibility of avoiding the issue. You must, let's make a certain hesfit for Kavod Chitzoni. Kavod Chitzoni's got to go. One of the hardest subjects in Shas, one of the hardest subjects in all of Torah, is the subject of Kavod. Kavod is one of the most pneumistic subjects that exists. It is an extremely complicated and delicate subject. There is a certain point in the subject of kavod where there is something intrinsically unclear, to the point that if you get it clear, then you miss the point. Because this is not a clear point, this is an unclear point. I'll see if I can succeed in getting it unclear. Because if we get it clear, then you got it wrong. There's something intrinsically unclear about real kavod. It must be unclear. This is a little gray area where things, where there's a little meshing of the gvulin.
Or you never eat that for the
Father. Take it slow. You're all the way at the end of the mission. You're a long way to go before that. A long way to go to Tripuri. Right? Take it slow. You're running? You're in a rush?
That's fine.
Okay. So, number one, what are we talking about? Right? A Rebbe comes in. And everybody gets up. Right. So there was some reality of COVID that took place. That's halacha. So we can start with halacha. Okay. Everybody comes in, people get up. A father comes in, children get up. COVID. It's halacha of COVID.
Dignity. Ah, that was the translation I heard for COVID. I've never heard that halacha. Doesn't make it. Well,
I was bothering
me
the last time.
He said something about Chavod, somebody expressing his insides on the outside. He's expressing his existence to the outside. We spoke about that Shir Rosh Hashanah with the Levush.
Yeah. That's what we have to get to. We have to get to the understanding. All right. How's it go? So let's start from here. A fellow who knows nothing, but is a very good speaker, gets up and says over things that he stole from other places, wraps them up in very beautiful words, and people are very enamored by it, really taken by it. He has everybody going when he wants. He gets them to cry when he wants. He gets them to laugh. When he wants, he raises them up. When he wants, he raises them down. And people are really wowed by this. So the next time he comes, they stand up even more. They clap even harder, and whatever else they use for means of expression of their respect and their honor and their, what was the word you had there?
Reverence.
And all the other words that they have in the English language for expressing. Mazeh. So the Rishonim in many places where they discuss the subject, there's a very big problem with COVID. Even some of the goyim came to understand that there seems to be a very, very major problem. If I am really important, then I am important whether you recognize it or not. Right? You do me nothing, I gain nothing, and I need nothing from you. I am important because I am important. And if I'm not important before you came into the picture, the fact that you get up, make funny faces, clap, stand, won't make me important. So what is this business? Is it a reality? Is it a reality? Does it really do any? Is there anything true to it?
So what the Rav is saying is there could be an importance to somebody without recognition by a secondary person?
Sure. Let's say I had a very valuable diamond. And I happened to be walking through a city where they didn't know anything about diamonds. So it's true that I won't be able in that city to buy a lot of bread with the diamond. Right? But has it lost its value?
No. Yeah.
No.
If you were hungry.
That's only if you were hungry.
No, but if you were hungry and somebody else had a potato, then yeah. The potato becomes more important than the
diamond. Yeah, but it doesn't have to be more valuable. It's just more important because you're hungry.
Isn't that diamond important because it's been recognized as being a value?
That's right. Diamonds is a good bad example because diamonds don't have any absolute value. Right? Diamonds. That's one of the things. Means they don't have absolute values, right? Because they're valued by whoever, the eye of the beholder gives it its value. That's why if a person thinks it's worth a lot, and he's willing to pay $100,000 for this stone, it's only $100,000 stone, right? Because it doesn't have any value. So that's not a good example. Right? It was just meant. By it is that anything that does have real value. Let's say the whole world knows that this is a diamond that belongs on the crown jewels. Because you happen right now to be in a kindergarten, and they think that it's a Chamesh Avanim, it didn't turn into a Chamesh Avanim. It's still a crown jewel. Just because you walked into a very big kindergarten, and all of the jokers over there don't understand what they're looking at, that doesn't determine its value. So, what happened because of this problem is two things. There are two shkorim that make the world go round, two forms of COVID that make the world go round. One is that people say, I know that it doesn't make a difference, and you know that it doesn't make a difference, but it will get me elected. And therefore, elected. Yeah. If I can make everybody think that I'm choshev, then it gives me tremendous difference. Watch. I, who am not half of the other guy, but I know how to smile better than he does, I will be president of the United States, and he will be a dishwasher. Because I'm better than no. Because I'm better at this. Better at this COVID chitzoni business. I fooled them all. I had them all thinking that I know how to speak. But I have this guy I paid that writes my drushes. And then I have this other guy who sits there and drills me with it. And then I have another guy who comes and paints my face and kicks me in the back every time I need it. And then I put on this thing and look, wow, great. It's tremendous. It's all fake, bluff. Who cares? But it works. So this is the worst form. This is the worst form. This is called advertising. This is called politics. This is called America. This is called all the dirty words that we have in the English language. You know, America, politics, democracy, all those dirty words, right? Which they add up to sheker, right? It is a bluff. It is, there are means of blowing up balloons. Taking something, usually you can't do a sheker or a kalayim. Usually has to have a kernel of truth. A real idiot, like a total zero, even if he has the absolute best speech writer in the world, but you still have to know something to say. You have to be a good actor, at least. There's got to be a little, there's got to be something there. He's got tremendously good advisors, but if he's totally a zero, so you won't even understand what they're saying. He wouldn't have even chose good advisors in the first place. So if he was smart enough to choose the right advisors, he deserves some credit to. There has to be a certain element of truth to it. But that's just to keep the sheker going long enough to get him elected. Right? Usually, why do they keep switching for 4 years? Right? Because the sheker is so weak, they can't last 4 years. Sometimes it doesn't last 2 years. Right? After him, who is this guy? What's he doing in the presidency? What does he know about anything? What does he know how to do? What is he? Leader? Leader in what? Leader in how? Leader in Gornish? Zero, FS, big zero, nothing. Right? How long did it take for everybody to realize it? 2 months. Right? That's okay, he got elected. He's got his $200,000 a year for the rest of his life, doesn't matter. Right? He was president at some time. So one shita that grew out of this problem, COVID problem, is, yeah, so what? But it works. And they've made a shita out of sheker. Shita out of false cover. And the real truth of it, I've heard this many a time from people who live in that society, is that, yeah, I know it's nothing, you know it's nothing, you know that I know, and I know that you know that I know that you know that it's nothing, but it still works.
Still is the choir.
Yeah. So I don't even pretend to be for real. I don't have to pretend to be for real. We all know that nobody's here for real. I know that when I get up and saying, you know that I didn't write the speech. I know that you know that when you're clapping, you're not clapping because you thought the speech was good, because you want a job. I know that you know that, you know that you're only clapping because you want the job, and you know that I knew that, but you still do it, and it will get you a job. But it's all nothing. It's all zero. It's a big blow. That's bullshit. That we don't even. That has no place at all. In the real world, it's zero. It is ra, and it's one of its worst forms. That is sheker in one of its most major expressions. And that's about 98% of what goes on in the world. That's it. That is bad, 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 ugly, terrible. That's the thing a person has to get away from as far as you can. As far as you can. Okay. So that's one of the shkorim that exist in the world. I don't have to deal with that. That's like, you know, so far out.
Eating a dead dog.
What?
Eating a dead dog.
Yeah, it's like, and you know, anybody who looks at the other guy doing this has such disrespect for him. Who are you fooling? Well, you're such a figure. You're a nobody. You're just a air bomb. Right? And, you know, I don't know who said it. Some politicians, you know, yell at me, scream at me, spit at me, just put me big headlines. You know? Look at that. Know that I'm nobody. They'll give all of the real cover that they have willingly to get a little more fake of. Because it works. Very, very powerful tool in this world. Very powerful tool. It's true that the more that you're dealing in an olam shel emes, it's less effective. If you ever were involved in tzibur things by B'nai Torah, sometimes it's very, very difficult. Because you don't have any of these things, they don't work. And we're people that are built on Torah. What are you doing?
What is he doing?
Like, and you get crossed off the list right there. Like, you know, no, forget it. Yeah. Forget it. by Bnei Torah, when a person puts on a different type of hat, a different type of coat, sits in a different place in the Beis Medrash, if it doesn't have a place, covers in Shulchan Aruch, it's a bazillion. Right? Look at that joker, what's he doing? Thinks it's poor all year? Well, what's going on? Get off there, what are you doing down there? Right? I mean, we've all seen this, we've all been through this, you know. There are such people who could be their purpose in the world is to teach how bad Gaiv is. Right? They're so wrapped up in their own, they're not aware of how much disrespect the COVID shtick that they play breeds them. But they tell you, look at this. The guy's a giraffe. Rebbe, he's a giraffe. Look at that long neck. You know, he's high. He's a giraffe. Get your nose out of the clouds, bud. What is that? It doesn't say that anywhere over here. That's one mistake. The opposite mistake, which is probably worse in the long run, is that people have been convinced by the unbelievable multitude and power, strength of this false COVID that flies around the world, that many, many good people have come to the false conclusion that COVID itself is not important. COVID is a non-entity. COVID is an ugly word. There are many people that feel that COVID is a dirty word. And I can certainly understand where they're coming from. Because if you see COVID means all this stuff, right? And anybody who has a little bit of tayyidika stomach, just it turns over when you see this. It just can't handle it. What is it? It's painful to be in this in the Dalai Lama. I want to get go somewhere. It's painful. What is this? So a person gets overdoses, and it's very easy to get overdoses because there's an awful lot of that going around all over the place. We're actually, Baruch Hashem, immune 90%, because, you know, 90% of the COVID is given for things that we have so clearly no respect for that we're not taken by. Right? Most of us, Baruch Hashem, are way beyond thinking that a sports or they call them musicians, I don't know exactly what it has to do with music, but these guys, you know, are politicians. We don't even feel that there's a subject of COVID going on, Bechlal. It's just Bechlal's shtuyot, nothing. When it gets a little bit closer to us, that's when we get these problems. But when you see within, like a little bit close to you, people playing COVID shticks, and you get sick from it enough times, and that can happen very, very young in a person's life, a person can make a terrible mistake. You can come to a mistake to think that COVID itself is a no-no. COVID itself is a sheker. COVID itself is a lie. COVID itself is unimportant. When a person loses respect for respect, he lives in disgrace. He is a disgrace. His relationship to other people is a disgrace. And generally, people relate to him as a disgrace. The two opposite problems are really the same problem. They're two sides of the coin of COVID shel sheker, COVID kitzoni, I call it COVID shel sheker. False COVID means COVID that is from the outside, not even the outside in, from the outside out. Okay? From the outside out. Thing that can be shown on screens, stuff like that. Billboards. It's not related at all to any shayish. It has no source. It never pretends even necessarily to have a source. It doesn't have to have any coverage. It's self-defining itself. And it is extremely dependent on reaction. It is totally dependent on reaction. because it only exists into what degree it causes reactions. It has no other source of existence. A person who put a tremendous speech, no audience, didn't do anything. He put on a rally, you know, and nobody was listening. Nothing. Zero. You know, there are people who wrap up a lot of COVID in things like cars. All kinds of other belongings, but cars is like a big one. I never understood it, never, ever, I don't think I ever will. But I've seen enough of these people that you are what you drive or something like that. It's hard for me, I really don't understand. But I've seen it. I had a friend who was a Bentayer, still is a Bentayer to some degree, and he married into a bad situation.
Usher.
I was part of it. He was an usher who he started too. But they were very, very deeply involved in this thing of a person is how many toys he has. You know? And they were supplying him with very nice toys. In the first couple of years, he enjoyed them because they were very nice toys and he didn't have them. But when I met him, I think it was like 3 years or 4 years after he was into these toys things, he was crying, and I really felt very sorry for him because he had a lot to cry about. They really believe that I'm worth something because I drive this thing. I'm a slave to this machine. I am a wheel that makes this thing go around the build, that block. Nobody even looks at you anymore. They only look at your suit. You're something to hang. You're a coat hanger. And I said, I'm just a coat hanger for the $500 suits. Coat hanger, that's all. And the same thing gets into more closer and closer, and that's all it is. The more outside checker cover there is, the less real cover there is. One of the Gdolim said, I understand there's some going that comes to this understanding also already, that if a person would lose absolutely all of his COVID, he would die. He would die. He couldn't live a day. And when a person gets swamped with COVID, false COVID, he loses more and more of his real COVID. To the point that there's psychologists that make businesses from that.
Suicide.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that happen when that happens. Right? One of the basic evils that comes from the first form of getting involved in a lot of false cover. The more false cover you have, the less real cover there is inside cover, until there's nothing left. I'm still bearing the other one, so that we shouldn't get confused. Okay.
You have to get out of a book of Mirab before you get to book of Tov.
Yeah, so Mirab Asaita.
First mission.
That's it, so Mirab Asaita.
This is the dynamic because you're always paying with real color for getting the false color.
No. Why does it have to disappear? Because false COVID is a vacuum. It's a black hole.
That's it. Right.
Last week it didn't exist. They don't exist there, but they do exist here. You've only created with Sheker. It absorbs. Where does it energize from? The more a person is things that he isn't, the more he isn't what he is. If a person is what he isn't, then he isn't what he is. The truth of the reason is because, we're going to explain this later, but just I'll throw it out. Covered, the giving of covered, the receiving of covered is a dynamic process. It really works. It affects things in both directions. If I would take any person in the world and would have the opportunity, through whatever means that I could use, to constantly knock him, put him down, destroy his cupboard, I can break him. I can turn him into a zero. I can turn him into an Eved. I can turn him into a... Right? There are people, like Jews, for example, that have an inner core made out of real kovod that there's nothing that you can do with in the physical world. You can beat him, you can spit at him, you call him names, it doesn't affect them in the least. You can't break him. But there are many people out there that don't have that much inside. And once you get past the outer shell, which isn't so hard to do, you can take a 4-hour course to learn how to do it. You can break him over supper. 10 minutes, you can have him crawling on the floor and screaming. What happened? Because you suck out his self-respect. And you can have him crawling on the floor. You can be a lawyer, a doctor, and have 15 workers, 15,000 workers for him. Turn him into a zero. What happened? Usually all you have to do is hold up a mirror and get him to look at it. That's enough to get him to the screen. Because it's unbelievable how disrespectful false respect is. It is totally zapping. It takes the neshada and neshama and pulls it all out into zero. And where does it go to? It doesn't go into anything real. It goes into zeroness. It's a horrible disease. It's really a horrible disease. So when people are running away from COVID, false COVID, the person has ever felt the absolute ugliness of having people clap at you or other forms of COVID when you don't, they don't mean it. And you know it's not covered by anything. It's just something that the situation required. You want to die. You want to dig a hole and disappear. Because like, it's a horrible experience. It's very, very disgraceful to be up against that. So there are two choices. Some people say, if you can't beat them, join them. It works. Cold-bloodedly, I know this is garnished. I know it doesn't make me anything, but it will get me elected. Yeah? So cold-blooded, they go and they produce these things, and they have advisors how to do it. They put on these whole shows and think I'll take show it. And they're like, no, who are balloons? There's no end to how big these balloons get. Okay. And it gets to a point that they get so sick that they start believing it. And then it usually pops. That's when it pops. So the first 17 stages, they know it's nothing. They know it's nothing. Okay. So it means, and it works. But after a certain point, they start believing it, and then they're in big trouble. Then it usually pops. You have, you know, the biggest shirim that they had $1 billion, and then when they were heading for the $2 billion, they popped and went down to only 200 million. What happened? Okay. They started believing it. They started taking themselves serious. They thought they created the world or something. And they started believing all of this stuff, what everybody's been telling them. Whatever they do will turn to gold. So they do things that are no longer good business sense. So if I decide to do it, it has to work. That pops. Look under Trump. There's other kind of junks, you know. That's it. That's the story. Just take yourself seriously and it's goodbye. It blows up. Boom. The other hand is a good Yiddish in Shamanach. They get exposed to all of this. And after losing their supper time after time, going through the painful experience, even as a bystander, right, it's the most unbelievably smelly thing in the world to watch this. It's just humbling. So a person starts losing his respect for respect. He thinks it's all sheker. One of the tragedies of America, no other country in the world has ever come close to the total destruction of the respect for respect. The sheet of America in the street society is that we all know you're the same. We all know that you're the same nobody that I am. So it's only if you eat me or I'm going to eat you or you're going to get elected. I'm going to get elected, but we're all the nobodies. The rich are nobodies, the less rich is nobodies, and the bigger nobodies, and the smaller nobodies, and the more powerful nobodies, less powerful nobodies. But as high as you're going to get, you're still going to be a nobody. It's absolutely no respect for parents, that's already, I don't know how many years that went out the window, right? 50 years ago, there was still respect for teachers. Right? Maybe even 20 years ago, probably 40 years ago. But now, teachers? That's the most dangerous profession there is in New York. Yeah, teachers need two armed guards. It's unbelievable. No, teachers, policemen. Policemen.
Crime becomes a great equalizer. Crime becomes a great equalizer because basically you can bring down from the president all the way down. One bullet.
Something.
That pops the balloon.
Yeah, I can manage by people on one board. Yeah. I'm gonna, there's been a series of people who shoot at the White House lately. Basically, the reason is because one person did, so the guy said, I'm going to do it too. He said, he got into the paper, I'll get into the paper too. Mm-hmm. But what does it really mean? What's going on over there? I said, just wait till next week. There's something coming you won't believe. How do I know? I don't know. I don't have any clue. What? Saul says it here. If it's coming next, you're not going to believe it. But you think they have anything against the president? They don't even know his name. Couldn't care less. That's not it. You can't shoot at the president. Yeah, yes, you can. Yeah, I did it. That's it. That's all. That's why they shot it. I shot the White House. Don't get big, huh? I shot it.
You can't ask the president, so you can bring the president down.
I can shoot at him. Okay. But I don't even know if he's in the building or not. And if he's in the building, I'm not going to. May hit the building, I may not. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. He has nothing against the president. He doesn't hurt the president.
Just the concept of it.
Okay. He shoot the White House. It's going to soon become a weekly experience.
Like somebody will shoot the Statue of Liberty next or something. The same concept.
Yeah, you know, go over the torch and break off
the same thing.
There's a tremendous pleasure, especially the person who's deep, deep into disrespect and who's very, very missing any real covenant in his life. If I can hit, if I can break down some of this false covet that he has, and I don't, and I know that he's nothing more than me, then I get some pleasure out of that. It's like some kind of nekoma. It's a little sick, I agree, you know. It's more than a little, but it's nothing more than what they teach in the schools. A person that has no respect for parents, and no respect for teachers, has no respect for the policeman, no respect for authority, no respect, period. And Israelis, we won't talk about. Because most of them are Jewish. At least 60% of them are Jewish. So maybe it's going down. Maybe, you know. But Israelis we don't talk about. But they also have a very big problem with the sugya of kavod. They have in both directions. But all of this has eliminated from most people's understanding b'chlal that there's a thing called real kavod. You're waiting for this. Yeah. What is real kavod? So the expression of real kavod that I like to use, even though it's incomplete, as I said before, that it must be incomplete to understand it properly, but it's a very good way of starting. Step number one is to understand that things have real value. And kavod, real kavod only relates to real value. This starts in finance. It starts in mumnus. All of Choshen Mishpat is built and giving the understanding that objects, and work, services, all the things that people pay for are real and they have absolute value. There's all kinds of variances of how the variants change and they go up and go down. Everything is taken into cheshbon. But soif kol soif, the essence of Torah finance is that things have real value. That goes always in society out the window. It's a whole different system. It's a whole different system, completely different system. Real value. That's physical real value. When you get into spiritual real value, the moral real value. Now you're starting to come to Yiddishkeit, and that's what Yiddishkeit is all about. Midos, real values, emunah. Ein kovod el Torah. All the way up to the levels of Ein kovod, kovod to neshama. All the way up to Kvod HaYisbach. Kavod is the central theme of the universe. That's what makes things run. That's what the dynamic force of all of the real changes of the world all circle around the subject of Kavod. Shmai Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Shem Echad, the essence of the world, Baruch Shem Kavod, Malchus Yisrael. The expression of that essence. The formula of the world is based on two. The two is always based on these two. Number one, a core essence. Number two, the capability of that essence to express itself. The core essence is the real value. The expression of that essence is covered. So, in simple terms, I said it before, I think you're quoting somebody, you know. Kavod is the real internal value of a person, a thing, an object, all the way up to the top, when it is expressed outside. That expression is absolutely real, absolutely important, and has a dynamic interwoven mutual cause and effect relationship between the kovod and the source value that they're coming from, and the receiver of the kovod, or the one giving kovod, say the Talmud and the Rav. Let's take the example of the Talmud and the Rav. Does the Rav become smarter? Does he know more Torah if the Talmud gets up when he comes in? He's the same Rav he was before, the same Rav he was before. So it's only a responsibility that the Talmud has, because that way he will learn better. No. It's a real dynamic of value. Although the Rav doesn't necessarily know more, because the Rebbe comes, the Talmud stood up, but it will be a totally different Rav. The first level, the easiest level of understanding it is, because the Rav can never give over himself directly. You can't take your heart and plant it in somebody else. You can only express it out. And that person can absorb in the expression. So the point of contact between the two is in the subject of kavod. And that is a two-part process. The Rav has to have the capability of expressing himself, of bringing out from himself that expression that's receivable by the Talmud. And the Talmud has to be a kli kibul that is fitting, matching that he's being received. Both the Rav has to gear himself, maybe lower himself, bring things down to the level of the Talmud. But the Talmud also has to stretch up and to know that he's getting something that's beyond him that he didn't know yet. When, let's say the Rav is perfect. The Rav is doing his job perfectly. Okay. One Talmud walks in, everything else is equal. But one Talmud comes in and has an appreciation, a respect, and Machshava Dibur Maaseh, he does everything that requires of him to be in touch with the kavod that he is coming in contact with. And he gears himself to that, and he expresses kavod towards that he's receiving. So two things happen. Number one, then he has a real kli kibul. So he accepts in, he receives all that can be received. That goes way beyond that. First level, it extremely enhances that expression that came through. If two Talmidim were sitting, and one had the proper respect for what he's hearing, proper appreciation for what he's hearing, and the other one didn't. They didn't hear the same thing. They heard the same words, but they didn't hear the same thing. They heard totally different things. Not only were their capabilities of understanding, their capabilities of absorbing, but actually they received a whole different package. He received, the one who had the respect, received an energized and alive, a dynamic relationship between the Rav and the Talmud in full. The one who didn't have the respect, he's also receiving because the Rav is giving. But he can't. He's also receiving. He's also alive. But it's a whole different story. Because it's only alive inside the Rav, and it's not alive inside the Talmud. Or at least to a different degree. It's not all or nothing. So he receives less. There is less there to receive. He will hear less. And when these two Talmidim discuss this year afterwards, you will very often hear these conversations. What? The Rav said, I didn't hear that. And then they play back the tape recorder. And even then sometimes they're like, he did say it, he didn't say it. That's not what he meant. He did what he meant. The problem is you can't always prove it so easily because it's all part of the same process. But one heard this and the other one heard that. And even you play back the tape again and again, he heard this and he heard that. Sometimes through the process of chaver, so you can bring in what he missed. But b'chol even be'etzem. So number one is how much the Talmud could receive. Number two is he's actually receiving a different package. And the biggest chiddush is that the Rebbe is a different Rebbe. It affects the Rebbe too. Chaim Shulevitz used to say that if people would really believe that he could do ma'asim, that he could do ma'asim. Because the power of Muna, which is also a Kovet Sugya, in the Rebbe, is an energizing force in the Rebbe. If 100 people would get together and have a belief that this particular person has certain powers. So it depends. You can't turn from that rock into a Sefer, right? But you can turn somebody in a lower level to a higher level. Somebody who on his own could not have received that because he hasn't gotten there yet. It's beyond his own capabilities. But with that extra help and assistance and energy that's coming from the receivers, from the Talmidim, from the Kolbet that they're giving, you can make him on a whole different level. The Teva Ruchni. This is the Teva of Kovet. Let's take it way down low. One of the Yesoidos of success in Chinuch, probably the Yesoid in success of Chinuch, is developing the real Kovet of the Talmud. Now you have to be careful here because false Kovet won't work. It has to be real Kovet. But if you can get the Talmud to appreciate and to receive appreciation from you in what he's really worth, he will grow. He'll become worth more. And this is a process that can double people. It can triple people. It can bring out people 50 times more than the next guy. Then all other things are equal. Not false covenant, real covenant. It has to be related to the reality of what the person is doing. If you can show them to appreciate and how much you really appreciate, right, any one step forward that he made, he'll make another two. Real steps. And if you show him you can appreciate that too, he'll make another four. If you show him that, listen, you made four steps, that's enough for the week, he won't make any more. What happened? He stopped understanding? Yeah. He doesn't have any more car. Can't do it. And if you energize him, he can't do it. But he doesn't have those cars. He's given to him. You can give it to him. Kovet is a dynamic energy, very alive process. I must stop at this point. We did not finish the mission. Remind me.
Very good for some advice, too.
Oh, it's good for everything. This is what makes the world go round. This is the secret of the world. You have this? Got it all. So, we have succeeded in not understanding the Mishnah. And we've succeeded what COVID isn't. And we've started understanding what COVID is. I believe that the next time we will try to further that discussion.
There's a little bit interchange in the words COVID and appreciation. Is that a good definition?
I think I made one thing clear that I'm not going to make it clear. Okay. I'm going to have to only talk around the point. There's one point here that can't be said. Not because I don't know how to say it. I don't know how to say it because it can't be said. If you said it, you missed it. So yes, I will make a lot of contradictory statements. A lot of different uses of words because I'm going around the thing. Right. And that's the only way it can be said. So there's no other answer. That's the way these things go. This is one of those things.
Well, why did the Torah tell us that intrinsically it's covetous or business? There's evil, there's every tshuva. So Rashi says there that the reason it's just juxtaposed of the aim because
it's the opposite of the natural tendency.
Right. Natural tendency is seen to have covetous to the mother. Therefore,
the
Torah tells
covetous.
Why is that? Why would the mother be
natural? Where are you? You're the difference in covet and murder. Yeah. Skip steps.
And the world. No, not the difference between the
murder. Skip steps.
Another step.
You want to know the difference in covet and murder?
No, I want it.
You want to know the relationship between them?
Covet to the mother.
That's the subject of covet and murder. We may get there next week. I'm very hopeful of getting there next week. Not promising anything.